Well, for this morning, I still have, I guess you could say, a continuation on where I'd been for a while, actually for a long while, concerning believing. And let's see if I can find my note. The last time that I shared, we discussed on how that the testimony produces an expectation in the heart. And the only thing different from Old Covenant expectation to New Covenant expectation is the form of the substance. With the Old Covenant expectation, the form of the substance is flesh and can be seen with flesh and blood, with the natural eye and understood with the natural mind, and is seen from without. And with New Covenant expectation, it's spirit and must be seen by the eye of the heart turning to see the Lord, where the natural mind cannot understand, the natural eye cannot see, but it is the spirit of Christ and it is the mind of Christ. That's the big difference. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last time, but I'll just read this little statement I had. It says, the testimony produces one sole object of expectation, the substance himself being Christ. The expectation is really not for things, places, or peoples. The expectation is one sole object, Christ himself. All right? And it's pretty sad that not truly having seen Christ, then in our hearts it will be an expectation of a place, an expectation of a thing, of a time, of an event, of peoples, namely me, where that's not the case. Those things of the places, the people, the times, the events, that was all a picture, like a photo album, okay, like a photo album, but of Christ, the substance. All right, now I wrote down this statement here, and this really determines whether in our heart we have a new covenant or an old covenant expectation of seeing the substance, because once again, the testimony produces in our hearts an expectation to see the substance. All right. The perceived condition of the heart determines whether the expectation is Old Covenant or New Covenant. All right. Now, I didn't cover this last time I shared, but I'll explain it a little bit. Let me read it again. The perceived condition of the heart determines whether the expectation is Old Covenant or New Covenant. The perceived condition. And I've been in Exodus chapter 34 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for several weeks now, maybe close to a month, where my reading has just been going back and forth. And I read other parts of Scripture, but then it just kind of goes back and forth to those texts. Now, what I mean by the perceived condition is that once you're born again, what your heart perceives. In 2 Corinthians, it says, when the heart turns to the Lord, the heart turning to the Lord. Okay, well, obviously at that point, the heart was turned to something else. Okay, the perceived condition of the heart. When the heart is turned to the Lord, there is no veil. And it goes on a little further to say that, In Christ, the veil is done away in Christ. All right. Now, we all know those who are born again are in Christ. That is an eternal reality, not dependent upon the condition of our heart. Not dependent upon the perceived condition of our heart. The one who is born again is in Christ. That is an eternal reality. Whether the heart whether we recognize that or not, whether we understand that or not, whether we know that or not, whether we perceive that to be so or not, the one who is born again is in Christ. Okay? Now I want to read this verse, and here's where the conflict in our heart arises, you could say. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see. Okay, I'll just pick up with verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There is no veil in Christ. There is no veil in Christ. What your heart perceives your condition to be, if your heart, okay, let me draw it this way on the board. If your heart, and I've used this diagram before a whole lot because it's pretty good. Wow. I know I'm not doing something right with this. Okay. Here's one who's not born again. They have no life. They're not in Christ, and we know that, all right? Now here is one who is born again, but here is a perceived condition. It's not, this is an understanding, a perceived condition that is not really there, of a view that looks back to what was. As though you would be raising the dead, necromancing, raising what the Lord hath put away, all right, which is an abomination to God. All right. The one who's born again, there is no veil. They're in union with Christ. We are in union with Christ, whether we recognize it or not. The perceived condition is if we think that there is something separate, or that I am somewhere, the Lord is somewhere else, or which we'll look at it in a second. I've got some more statements. There's a veil here, you could say, because the view is not the Lord here. Here the view is flesh. Here the view is with, I'll go ahead and put it right here, with the natural eye, the natural mind, the natural understanding. Here the view is spirit. Alright? It's the mind of Christ. Okay. So it's once again the perceived condition. All right. Now, let me go ahead and say this, since I did write this on the board. You could say here you find an old covenant understanding and old covenant expectation. Here you find the new covenant expectation, the new covenant understanding, right? And we'll be looking at Exodus just to kind of see how, with 2 Corinthians, Paul, he's just reciting Exodus 34. That's all he's doing. He's just going over it with the Corinthians. Now, once again, let's see the verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Remember, in Christ there is no veil. It's just perceived by the heart. The heart, once again, the heart. The heart, in Colossians, Paul says, set your affection on that which is above. Set your heart on that which is above. Why? Because at some point their heart was not set on Christ above. Their heart was set below. Or, with, once again, right here, with an old covenant expectation based on the natural eye, with what the natural eye, the natural mind could understand. Okay? Now, back to 2 Corinthians, reading on. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. All right? When the heart turns to the Lord, the condition of the heart now turns, and it's no longer the perceived condition. Well, Now the perceived condition is of reality. Okay? Let me go ahead and define that. Here there is a perceived condition, and it's all of the heart. For those who are born again, it is only the heart. Because what we think matters not. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My way is higher than your ways. What we think does not matter. What God knows is what matters. He's continually declaring His mind, the mind of Christ. And how does He declare it? We know this. He declares it by revealing His Son. There is no other way. There is no other way we can know God. We saw that last time I spoke with the example of the Emmaus Road. Their eyes were holden that they could not know Him. And then later on it says that Jesus broke the bread and or the meat and gave them. And then it says, and they beheld Him and they knew Him. And then instantly He vanished. Okay, instantly He vanished. They said He vanished. And that's important that He vanished out of their natural sight. It's very important because here you can, with your natural eye, see what the natural eye sees. The flesh. The flesh. That's what it sees. See? Flesh. Alright? But here is spirit. What the natural eye cannot see. Alright? Here, you could say, it's found a comfort zone. Here's what is familiar. What we grew up with before we were born again. Here is what is not familiar. Here is man's ability. Here is what God hath done based on His ability, His power, His Christ. Okay? So here you have a perceived condition of seeing the flesh, of seeing man, and not yet seeing the Lord. The veil is still upon the heart. Here you have a perceived condition of reality of what is right now in Christ. The way God sees things. Why? Because it's the Spirit. It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of the Spirit. Okay. Going on in 2 Corinthians. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When the heart turns to the Lord. excuse me. Paul once again. Set your affection on that which is above. For according to this, you are dead. According to the flesh, according to what was, you are dead. And now your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now Paul, in verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. All right? He basically described one the perceived condition of the heart is from without, and now he's just described one whose perceived condition of the heart is from within, beholding the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. In another place, later on in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To shine out of darkness, that's in our heart, okay? But I want us to look at verse 18. And we kind of overlook this and run by it really fast, but we all, with open face, because here's the part we like, with open face, an unveiled face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we say, oh, from glory to glory, and then there we go, from one to the other, from the first to the second, and we just go on and on. But Paul mentions something right here in verse 18, but we all. Which we all is Paul speaking of? We know he's speaking of himself, because he says we, but then he says we all. It's plural, me included with the rest of us, but we all. But we all who? If you look back to verse 14, it is, but we all in Christ. But we all in Christ. Remember, there is no veil in Christ. The perceived condition of the heart will determine whether our expectation is old covenant or new covenant. To see Jesus in the Scriptures requires, as I mentioned before, last time I shared, requires the Spirit of God. You cannot see Christ. You cannot pull Christ out of a hat. It requires the Spirit of the Lord. But that seeing is an old covenant seeing, like on the road to Emmaus. That is a glory that fadeth, just like the glory of Moses. It faded. It faded. A glory that would be done away. To be done away. All right? That is a glory that fades. To see the Lord, a new covenant expectation would be where He's revealed. It does not fade. Why? Because it's the person of the glorified Christ Himself. He does not fade. It's not a picture of Him. It is Him. Even in the natural, if you take a picture of someone, and you can have that picture. I know that growing up, I remember my grandmother had a picture of, I think it was her mother, on the wall, and that was an old picture. And I don't know the quality of photographs nowadays, but with old pictures, they kind of change color after a while. They get bleached by the sun and stuff, and they change color. They get faded. They get faded. Well, to see the actual person is not like the picture. All right. Now, I know that, yes, people in the natural, yeah, we are in a process of decay. This little fleshly body was not meant to, you know, go on forever in whatever condition. No, it is in a process of decay. But with Christ, this glory, whom He is, does not fade. All right. So with here, this scene, see, here we have, oh my gosh, the patriarchs, they were not born again. Here we have the road to Emmaus, right? 1M or 2? Road to Emmaus. They weren't born again. Everybody, Peter, we did cover this last time, and I have it in the notes, which I may cover or may not. Peter, who art thou? Thou art the Christ. All these... the transfiguration upon the mount. They were not born again. Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah was not born again. Abraham, he saw the Lord. He's not born again. It's old covenant expectation from without. And it's all fading. And of course, Moses, our main example, he saw the Lord. Old covenant expectation. And that glory spelled out was fading. All right. So we have One view is glorious. One view, glorious. Here's another view, more glorious. From glory to glory. It's all our view of Christ, all our seeing of Christ. Whether it be from without, Christ being revealed to us, like where we see Him in the Scripture, or God speaks to us a revelation of Christ, like He did to... and what I mean by that, I don't mean to confuse it with the revelation of Christ that is from within. Okay? Where God speaks to, like Peter. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus stops everything. It's like, oh, hold your horses, everybody. Man didn't show this to you. Flesh and blood didn't show this to you. Here it is. My Father revealed this to from without. To you, my Father did this. Something the man could not do. We could not conceive of. We had no ability to create such a statement. My Father, to you, revealed this. And that is glorious. That is glorious. The transfiguration on the mount. That is glorious. But in all this, flesh is in view. Mankind is still in view. And it fadeth. It fadeth. Okay? I've not yet found a good example of one who's born again where Christ is revealed to them. And I'm still looking. I have not yet found it. I'm not saying it's not there. I just haven't found it yet. Like I said, the only passages I've really been in have been 2 Corinthians and Exodus. And I just kind of, you know, I've looked at Acts as well. The New Covenant, where it's the more glorious. Of course, we have Paul. Where he said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal His Son in me, the key word, a greater glory. And it's always unto this, the more glorious, the exceeding glory, the glory that remaineth. Okay, and I may go into those verses with Paul and Stephen, because with Stephen it's the same thing. Oh, and with John, yeah, with John it's the same thing, where Christ is revealed. And it's not revealed to them, revealed in them. Because remember, we have what is flesh, and we have what is spirit. Okay? And right smack dab in the middle, we have a perceived condition of the natural mind based on what it sees, what it understands naturally. A veiled heart. All right. Let's see. Let's go ahead and turn to Exodus. Right here. In Exodus chapter 34. Let's just go ahead and turn there. Exodus chapter 34. I do want to say this first, that concerning this Exodus chapter 34, the veil is present when man, humanity, flesh is in view. All right, the veil is absent when Christ is in view. Excuse me. In another spot, here we go again. Hold your place in Exodus 34, and I think. In Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians. I should have wrote the verse down, but I didn't. Maybe I should just try to quote it real quick. Where Paul, I know I've got the verse written some around in the midst of all my notes everywhere, but it's where Paul is saying, we're not peddling, and maybe even in this chapter, we're not peddling the Word of God. We're not disguising it. Let's see. Yes, yeah. A little further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I was looking at it in a different Bible. All right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that's actually not the one that I was looking for. In the sight of God. He says something along the lines of speaking the truth, or we speak in the sight of God in Christ Jesus. Speaking in the sight of God in Christ Jesus. There is no veil in Christ Jesus. There's no veil. They're speaking with an unveiled face. Even right there, they're speaking with an unveiled face. They do not have flesh in view. They do not have man in view. They do not have, they may be speaking to flesh and blood concerning the reality, but their view is the Lord. Their view is Christ. It goes beyond the flesh and blood. Their view is Christ Himself. And they declare out of that reality, out of the reality that they see. All right. Now let's go to Exodus. Chapter 34. And I just want to give a little background, because when I started reading the passage, I read it and I ended up reading backwards. And I'll just give a little background on that. All right. In reference to I'm using 2 Corinthians chapter 3 still. where Paul says, and not as Moses, who put a veil over his face. Okay, not as Moses, all right? Now we're going back to the Moses, right? And you don't have to turn here. It starts, the whole conversation with Moses and the Lord pretty much starts in Exodus chapter 19. And the Lord speaks with Moses so the people can hear and believe Moses forever, right? And then it goes on through Exodus chapter 20, on to Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus chapter 24, this is, I believe, the first time that Moses, that I found recorded, where Moses goes up to speak with the Lord for 40 days, where Moses is on the mountain 40 days with the Lord, you know, neither eating nor drinking. He's with the Lord 40 days. This is originally when the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger and gave them to Moses, presented them to Moses. All right. During this time, there's no veil. There's no mention of a veil whatsoever. It's just Moses before the Lord, and the Lord speaking to Moses, all right? In Exodus, and then there's another time when Moses goes up to the mount, and he's before the Lord, and it's another 40 days. And this time, Moses has to, you know, carve out the Ten Commandments on the stone, okay? The first time the Lord does it, the second time Moses does it. In between that, we have Exodus 34 verses, actually, let me go right before that. This is all before the second time that Moses goes up. In Exodus 32, 4 through 8, we have the golden calf. And this is just like a little summary of everything that happened before Moses comes down with the glory of God on his face, which glory was fading. Okay, I do want to make mention of that. That glory that he had was fading. Okay. There, so in Exodus 32, we had the golden calf incident. And then in, a little further in Exodus 32, the Lord wants to consume, bring to an end the people. Moses intercedes. And in verse 13, Moses brings to remembrance God's eternal plan. Exodus 34:7, Moses pitches the tent without the camp. On the outside of the camp. All right. Exodus 33:11, the Lord speaks to Moses face to face. Okay. And then let's look at Exodus 33, verses 18 through 23. And this is very, very important, because we saw in verse 11 that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. And here's 33:18. through 23. And the Lord... And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And this is basically what it amounted to with Moses. The apex for Moses. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And this is what the Lord says. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. In verse 11, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. So apparently there's a greater thing that Moses wanted to see, and the Lord said, no, you can't. With Moses, it was, show me thy glory. The Lord's response is, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So there's talking about a different face-to-face encounter here. There's one that Moses did have. There's one that Moses did not have. One, I know, had to have been from without, but there was one that was from within. Because that's all there is. It's either from without or it's from within. There is the lesser and there is the greater. There is that which is passing and there is that which remaineth. Okay? Going on. Verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, transient, in transition, moving, that I will put in thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You shall see me as I am moving, or as I am departing, or as I am going somewhere. But you're not going to see my face as though I were coming. You'll see me going. Okay? That's really a good thing to take note of right there. Passeth by. Because I believe it's the same thing. It's like, here's Moses. Well, he's not even born again. Here's like Moses. Oh, I want to see your glory. You can't see my face. Okay? Something that was passing. He saw the glory of the Lord, but in passing, he saw, to some degree, a glory that fadeth, the glory that passeth. He did not see the glory that remaineth, which is found in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? Even that same glory was fading from his face while he spoke to the children of Israel. That same glory was in a process of fading, going, leaving. The same exact thing with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The instant they saw with their natural eyes the Lord, he vanished. It's almost like saying, you can see me this way, but this is not the way I want you to see me. I will make it in such a way that you can't hold on to it. It'll vanish right before your eyes. Right before you can try to lay hold of it, it'll vanish. Because there is a greater that I do want you to see, and therefore I do want you to know. A fading glory that you can't keep. It's going, it's gone. Versus the glory that remaineth, the glory that excelleth, the greater glory that remaineth. All right, that abides. And it's the Spirit of Christ. It is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ within the born-again believer. Okay. The Lord had no intention for Moses to camp, if you will, to abide with that passing glory. In fact, he has no desire for us to camp or abide or continue or stay with that passing glory. He has no intention whatsoever. Because if we get comfortable there and we try to keep it alive, which we cannot keep alive, which if we try to keep it going, which it will not keep on, you know, going, the experience or whatever, it fadeth, then we will never turn our hearts to that which remaineth. We will never desire to turn our hearts to the greater, to what the Lord actually does desire. Okay, so that's kind of the situation. So Moses did see the back part of the Lord as the Lord was passing by. And that phrase passeth by is Strong's number 5674, and it's a primitive root, basically to cross over, used very widely of any transition. Transition. Okay? Moses was not born again. The transition for Moses, I guess, would be for him to be born again. But it does not stop right there. Because with the Lord's conversation with Nicodemus, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. He actually says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's even purpose for new birth. All right, for the one who's born again, purpose is not just being born again. The being birth is just like the first step to the goal, to attaining that goal, which is Christ himself seeing the kingdom of God. It's not just getting in the kingdom of God, which new birth does by bringing us into Christ and by virtue of Christ being in us, Christ himself being that kingdom, but seeing that kingdom being revealed. Okay? All right. Let's see. Okay, so now we're up to Exodus 34. Now Moses has spent his first set of 40 days with the Lord, and he has seen to some degree the Lord, the back part of the Lord. He did not see his face. He saw his back part, and that in passing by. Okay, now in Exodus 34, we have Moses with this second set of 40 days with the Lord. All right, let's see verse. Lord is speaking to Moses. Let's just pick up with verse 28. And he of chapter 34. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Here's where you find Paul's declaration, but when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When the heart, the affection of the heart is turned towards man, there is a veil with a glory that is fading. When the heart turns to the Lord, when the heart is before the Lord, there is no veil. Why? We read it in 2 Corinthians. There is no veil in Christ. The veil is done away. Which veil is done away in Christ? And then Paul going on, but we all with unveiled face, but we all in Christ, who are found in Christ with unveiled face, are beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed in that same image from the glory that fadeth to the glory that remaineth. It's right there. From the glory that fadeth to the glory that remaineth, with the unveiled face, unto the greater glory, the glory of Christ Himself. Let's see. I'll go over this right here. Once again, let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And all that is, as we've stated, is Paul's recounting unto the Corinthians Exodus chapter 34 with Moses. All right. This is verse. We're going to backtrack a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is verse 6. Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Alright? But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. Right. last verse 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Okay. The ministration of condemnation was glorious. But why is he calling it the ministration of condemnation? It was a glory. It was based on Moses seeing the back parts of the Lord as he passeth by. Well, that was his seeing was from without, from the outside. Okay? And I just wrote some things down here. It is written on stone, something from without. And it involves man's effort and ability to be like Christ, to be like God. Okay? Because basically that's all it was. When Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, it was like a photo album of Christ. The people, the Israelites, were like, just tell us what to do. Just tell God to tell us what to do. We'll do it. Here comes Moses with the photo album. This is what God wants. This is what God has always wanted. Right here. It's a picture of Christ. So then instantly, those who see that glory that is fading of the photo album that is fading from without will try to, in their own effort, the ability of man, in man's effort, try to recreate that. Try to do that. That's where you get the be like Jesus and try to be like Jesus thing. It's all from without, because you see in the old, excuse me, you see in the scripture something of God, something of Christ, something of the substance, even you can see this even in the Gospels. Oh, look, this is how Jesus did, you know, and look what he did there. And let me try to reproduce what he did. Let me try to do what he did. Let me try to please God, because I know that this is what pleases God. His Son pleases God. So let me try to do that. Okay? And all that is from without, trying to get the glory that has been seen on the outside from without, that can be seen with the natural eye, understood with the natural mind, on the inside, making it work in me. How do I get it to work in me? Right? That's a big question. How do I get it to work in me? I see what Jesus does. I see how Jesus is. I see his nature. I see his character. How do I get it to work in me? That's from without. That is a glory that's fading. Remember, anytime we see Christ by the Spirit of the Lord in the Scriptures, it is still an old covenant scene, and it is fading. It's a glorious scene, but it is fading, and it's by the Lord not meant to last. Not meant to last. Okay? So, there you have condemnation. Why? Because when you have the photo album, sooner or later, if you are truly honest with your own heart, you will see you do not measure up. You cannot. I cannot. And then you, Lord willing, if you're honest, if you're completely, brutally honest with your heart, you will, like Paul, come to Romans 7. Who shall deliver me? I've been glorying in all the glory that I've seen of the Lord, but unfortunately it's a passing glory and I cannot reproduce it. It's fading. I can't even lay hold of it. It's in a process of going, passing, transient. No, it's not stable. Well, it's not permanent, is the better word. And I can't get it to work in me. I can't lay hold of it. I just can't do it. Who shall deliver me? Okay. Now, the ministration of the Spirit, a completely different ministration. New Covenant, New Testament. The ministration of the Spirit deals with the heart. And whether, fleshly tablets of the heart, not the tablets of stone, but fleshly tablets of the heart. I'm not exactly sure why Paul used fleshly tablets of the heart, but I do know that it is on the inside. See, man, in man's ability, cannot touch his heart. I can't touch anyone else's heart either. I can't inscribe anything on anyone else's heart. That is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord does that. I can move your emotions. People move each other's emotions and get your souls riled up in all this, whether they be happy or sad or inflamed and enraged or extremely exuberant or whatever. That's all emotional stuff. You know, that's all soul stuff, okay? And soul. But only the Spirit of the Lord can truly touch a person's heart. All right? So the ministration of the Spirit is more glorious. Why? Because it is the very indwelling Christ revealed in you by the Father. And it is not a one-time revealing, but is a continued revealing, continually writing upon our heart that which is there, that produces a continual seeing of that which is there. And that is it. It's not that Christ, all of a sudden, now He's there. No. It's just like the example with Jacob, when he rests his head upon the stone and he has his dream and the angels of the Lord ascending and descending. And then he wakes up and he says, he anoints the stone and he says, he's going to call it Bethel, the house of God. And his statement is, "For the Lord was here and I knew it not." Yeah. I knew it not. Every single born-again believer, the Lord is here. He is in you. You are in Christ by virtue of Him being in you. The thing is, what is the perceived condition of our heart? Do we know He's there by Him being revealed to the Father? Or do we not know He's there? And then we have some perceived condition, which is a veiled heart, that He's not there. And He's somewhere from without. And then we're trying to get Him on the inside, in. Okay? And that would once again be trying to imitate Christ, trying to be like Christ, trying to do what Jesus did. Because that we can see with our natural eye and understand to some degree with our natural mind and with our natural ability, we can, and effort of man, we can try to reproduce Christ. But you can't, because we're not Him. I am not the Christ. I love the way John the Baptist said that. What's your declaration of yourself, John the Baptist? You do this, you do that, you know, you're preaching repentance and all this stuff, you're baptizing. Well, who are you? Are you the Christ? What's going on? Beautiful, beautiful declaration of himself. I am not the Christ. Okay? All right. Now, let's go a little further. Once again, the condemnation. Okay? And when I was thinking about this and writing this down, the ministration of condemnation was glorious. Okay? Stone from without. All right? Seeing, I may have already mentioned these, but I'll just read some notes. Seeing the glory that fadeth and trying to get it on the inside. Yes, we did cover that. All right? Trying to possess it, make it one's own. There's a huge difference. The glory of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, is always God's glory. It is never our glory. It is His glory. What happens from without, when our seeing is from without, we try to make it our own, make it one's own. That is, how about this verse in Genesis chapter 3? You shall be like gods. That was exactly what the serpent told Eve. You know, don't eat of this fruit. And he says, oh, God knows that once you eat of that tree, of that fruit, you will be like God. All from the outside, where there is separation from without. It's no longer, well, they weren't born again, but the picture's there. It's no longer the Lord in you doing, but it's now you trying to do from without. Okay? Ignorant of the glory that is within. And we did cover that a second ago just with Jacob. For the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Ignorant of the glory that is within. And then in Colossians 1:27, here's Paul again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All Israel had a hope of this glory, trying to get it on the inside. It was from without, a glory, glorious, from without. All their expectation of this one, of this substance, who in his face there is glory. They had all this expectation. And Paul just simply says, this all, like all this expectation of from without, you have the greater, which is Christ in you. The hope of all that expectation, but it's Christ in you. He is in you within, from within. Okay? The hope of their glory, but the greater glory is within you. All right? The glory of man fadeth, the glory of God remaineth. And why do I say that? Well, if I can imitate Christ to whatever degree, if I can be an imposter to whatever degree and try to show something of Christ to whatever degree, then that's glorious. Or at least in my own mind, in the Lord's mind, it's a complete affront to Him. It's worse than a stench because it's an imposter. Okay? The glory of God remaineth. Going back with Colossians 1:27, ignorant of the glory that is within, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have a note written down here. Old covenant believers had expectation from without. They could not have fathomed this glory could be from within. Everything to them was external. Everything. Even their kingdom was external. They wanted to see it. That when Jesus of Nazareth, the single seed, was walking on the earth, they were excited, you know, and oh yeah, you're bringing the kingdom and all this stuff. It was in their eyes, everything of the old covenant was external from without. In Luke chapter 17, just because I have it written down right there, verse 20. I'll read that real quick, through 23. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, not by the observation of your natural eye. Because they want, remember, their whole concept was from without, from without, from without. A kingdom from without that I can naturally see. Well, anything from without that we can naturally see and naturally understand, once again, is fading, in the process of fading, not remaining. Okay? Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now he's speaking to those who would be born again. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not come with observation. Verse 23, and he said unto the disciples, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them or follow them. You know, because it is something glorious, possibly, but fading. If you can see it with your natural mind, with your natural eye, and understand it with your natural mind, then it is in a process of fading, of transient, of going, of in motion, not remaining. All right. The last verse that I had is in John, and it's John chapter 5, and this is the passage where Jesus is telling him, it's a little further from the passage where Jesus is telling him to search the scriptures, okay, in fact, I'll just read verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All right, you search the scriptures, and you will not come to me that you might have life. And I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Then he goes on to say this. Oh my gosh. Verse 44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and not the honor that cometh from God only? The word right there, honor, is Strong's number 1391, and it's actually glory. How can you believe, and remember, it's all dealing with believing, how can you believe unto seeing the substance, believe unto seeing the substance? How can ye believe which receive glory one of another, and not the glory that cometh from God only? Wow. That is an eye-opener. I have just a couple verses written down. The first one is, well, Colossians 1:27, which we already talked about. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. The other one is 2 Corinthians 4:6. Let me go ahead and read it. I think I know which verse it is because we've been reading it. Yeah. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All those words, glory, are the exact same word that's used right here. Strong's number 1391. How can you believe which receive glory one of another, and seek not the glory that cometh from God only? The glory that cometh from God only is Christ. Amen. Those who would be born again received the glory that cometh from God only. Now that glory that cometh from God is in you. In Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the glory of God in you. Now that glory, which is greater than the glory that is passing, would be revealed. That His face would be written upon our own heart. Not with pen, not with a pen and natural ink. Natural pen, natural ink that works with a natural hand and from someone's natural mind, but by the Spirit of the living God. So here we have it. We have the greater glory within us. And we must not, at least in our hearts, we must not settle for a glory that is passing, for a glory that does not remain. For the glory, the greater glory Himself is within us, those who are born again. Why does Paul say when the heart turns to the Lord? Why does he have to say that? It's because the heart is turned towards something else. Whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. But when the heart is turned towards the Lord, I won't be able to get into John on the Isle of Patmos. It's just it's laid out perfectly there. Perfectly and very beautifully. But I won't be able to get into that, but I'll just give you the verses. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, verse 12, and verse 17. I won't be able to get into it, but you see the whole transition of John's heart. You know, he is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and his heart turns, and he sees the Lord. He sees the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, I won't go any further with that, but once again, I will reiterate this, that we must not settle for the lesser glory. There is the greater glory, which is found in the face of Jesus Christ, that Moses was not allowed to see or partake of. But we are purposed through new birth unto this seeing and unto this knowing and unto this partaking. Amen.